Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, June 26th. I'm Abby Larico. A Florissant restaurant has gained national attention for its gender-based age policy, but experts say the rules could violate state law.
Because sex is a protected characteristic under the Missouri Human Rights Act, you cannot use that as a basis for determining someone's ability to enter into your restaurant and be served.
St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports on the new Afro-Caribbean restaurant and the legal and ethical implications of its rules. That's coming up on The Gateway. Absentee voting for Missouri's August primary is open. People who meet one of six criteria can now request a ballot. Some counties also allow absentee ballots to be cast in person at local election headquarters. Some other dates to note: early voting begins July 23rd. The deadline to register to vote is July 10th. Items on the ballot include primaries for Congress, statewide offices, the Missouri General Assembly, and St. Louis County Council. Voters will also consider two statewide propositions and some municipal tax issues. Plans for a new innovation district focused on construction south of the Arch are moving forward. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the $1.2 billion Gateway South project has secured bonds for the first phase of renovation.
The Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority Board voted Tuesday to authorize $155 million in bonds for the project. Mike Fletcher is a partner and general counsel of Good Developments Group. He says the bonds will pay for the first phase of construction on the 95-acre site, including the rehabilitation of the Crunden Martin Complex,
which we envision being the innovation hub, kind of the heartbeat of this building industry collaboration district.
Fletcher says that collection of buildings has about 500,000 square feet and will become space for private companies, educational institutions, researchers, and others. He says developing the rest of Gateway South will take years. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis is a step closer to adding a new Metrolink line running north to south. This week, the Federal Transit Administration formally approved the application submission for the Green Line expansion project. The approval means the project is getting closer to requesting federal funding through a capital investment grant, which could cover up to 60% of the Green Line's estimated $1.1 billion cost. The Green Line would bring more than 5.5 miles of new light rail between Fairground Park and Chippewa Street, mostly running along Jefferson Avenue. The project still needs to reach certain design milestones and complete an environmental review, which are expected to be completed next spring. The influx of immigrant and refugee families to our area is outweighing the amount of support the International Institute of St. Louis can offer, officials say. The Institute aims to resettle about 2,500 people this year. That's the largest influx it has resettled since a group of Bosnians in the 1990s. Right now, it costs about $5,700 to resettle a family of two. Officials are asking the community to donate clothes and gift cards. They're hosting a donation drive this Saturday. Arrio Benson is the Institute's CEO.
This is the opportunity to help many people who are in need for just a short period of time. How we respond to this moment will determine the future of St. Louis.
O'Benson says the agency also needs hundreds of volunteers to help welcome families at the airport and sort donations. Another St. Louis restaurant that gained national recognition, this one celebrated for its elevated Ozark-inspired cuisine, has served its last meal. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports Bullrush chef and owner Rob Connolly says he can no longer support what he calls the state's anti-LGBTQ politics.
Connolly announced the closure of the Grand Center restaurant in a Facebook post that condemned the state's Attorney General, Andrew Bailey. Bailey's been fighting for access to health records of transgender patients as part of a state investigation into gender-affirming care for minors. Connolly is a gay man and says that was the last straw for him.
It's not a blip, it's a trend. And it's gone from being a conservative state to a radical state. And when we go radical, that's not good for business.
Connolly was a Best Chef finalist for the James Beard Awards, sometimes referred to as the Food Oscars. Bulrush's dishes included mushrooms, acorns, and quail eggs. It took culinary cues from European settlers, enslaved, and indigenous people. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Florissant restaurant has gotten a lot of attention for its minimum age requirements. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports such rules could be in violation of Missouri state law.
Marvin and Tina Pate had an idea for an upscale, resort-themed restaurant for years, taking inspiration from traveling to tropical destinations like Jamaica and Trinidad. About a month ago, they opened Bliss Restaurant. The menu is a fusion of Caribbean and African dishes, drawing from Tina's West African background.
We wanted to bring something different, some different cuisine, not only just to St. Louis, but in this community as well.
But the new restaurant's Afro-Caribbean cuisine isn't the only characteristic setting it apart from other restaurants. It has been sparking conversation online for its minimum age requirements. Bliss only allows women over 30 and men over 35. Marvin says this rule was always in their vision for the restaurant to cater to people in their 30s and 40s.
Because of the maturity that we notice from being at adult resorts and different people that they'll want to be around, more like they age, we just kind of came up where people would actually like to be around in their comfort zone.
Marvin says they have nothing against younger people. They just wanted to focus on an older audience.
We didn't even think about what it would be for, like, even having the people that's under 30 and 35 inside here. We just envisioned the people who would be over that age.
Much of the conversation about Bliss's rules has been centered around the difference in age requirements for men and women. The owners say it's not about maturity.
It's typically that women like to hang in groups and enjoy women night out and things like that rather than men at that age. Men tends to do it more at 35 where they settle down. Women more settle down at the age of 30.
But these gender-based age requirements could be in violation of Missouri law, according to Travis Crum. Crum is an associate law professor at Washington University. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, and religion for public accommodations. The Missouri Human Rights Act prohibits discrimination on the same categories, but also on the basis of sex or gender. Crum says Bliss could set an age limit if it wanted to.
That's because there's no restriction on discriminating on the basis of age in federal or state public accommodations law. However, what's problematic about Bliss's policy is that it uses a person's sex to determine what age limit applies to them.
Marvin says he believes this law doesn't apply since they're a private business. Tina says they talked to a couple attorneys about the rules, but they still don't really understand the laws and how they apply to their business. When asked if they would consider changing their policy if someone took legal action, Marvin said they'll cross that bridge when they get there. Jennifer Clemens, who's 50, dined at Bliss last week. She says she really enjoys the age requirement.
Coming from an environment where we're always running into the younger crowd, I don't mind them having their space, but I really wanted somewhere to go to be able to just mingle with people of the same age and have the same commonalities.
Michael North is a professor of management and operations at New York University. He studies what he calls youngism, or ageism targeting younger adults. He says while younger people have always faced ageism, it's becoming a bigger problem now. That's because of the special circumstances young people are in today, including economic instability and political polarization, in that rules that exclude younger people affect them negatively.
That's a really insidious recipe where you're risking excluding the very people who probably need a little bit more opportunity in order to feel better about the trajectory that their lives are on.
Tina says they never meant to make young people feel excluded.
It was never like our intent to create this whole discrimination with age or gender, anything like that. This was just a personal preference that involved a lot of conversations that we've been in with our age group and felt like we were answering a demand.
The owners say they're considering an idea for another restaurant aimed toward younger people. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.